The FAA has issued a TFR for the final launch of the shuttle Atlantis. Gamma says the industry is far from a recovery, and the clock is ticking down to a strike at Spirit Airlines. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, May 11th, 2010. The FAA has placed a TFR in effect for the area around Cape Canaveral in preparation for the launch of Space Shuttle Atlantis on Friday. The launch window opens at 2:15 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 minutes before the scheduled liftoff. The TFR goes into effect Friday morning at 7:15 a.m. Eastern Time and lasts until not later than 2:56 p.m. Affected will be general aviation and VFR operations, which are prohibited within a 30 nautical mile radius of Launch Pad 39A, from the surface to 18,000 feet. Pilots should obtain the NOTAM for affected airports. Pilots are asked to refer to the Orlando Class B Terminal Area and Jacksonville Sectional Charts. Get more detail in the text version of this story, dated May 10th, at aero-news.net. The General Aviation Manufacturers Association reported yesterday that in the first quarter of 2010, worldwide general aviation airplane deliveries totaled 390 units. That's mixed news. It's down 15% from the same period last year, but a much smaller drop than the one that happened from 2008 to 2009. Total industry billings actually grew 7.1% in the first quarter. That was led by international deliveries of large cabin long-range airplanes, whose customers rely less on third-party financing. Gamma President Pete Bunce observed, quote, "These numbers are being released on the heels of eBase, where many of our manufacturers noted that the market seems to be stabilizing. Reported flight activity from the FAA and Eurocontrol is on an upward trend, and the used aircraft inventory is slowly decreasing. However, these first quarter numbers reveal that our industry is far from a recovery," unquote. Gamma is calling for a continuation of bonus depreciation as a tax incentive to spur the industry. Spirit Airlines pilots rejected the National Mediation Board's proffer of arbitration last week. That triggers the start of a 30-day cooling-off period, which could be followed by a strike if no contract agreement is reached with the company. Captain Sean Creed, head of the Spirit unit of the Airline Pilots Association, commented, quote, "As pilots, we would rather be in the air than on the picket line. We want a fair contract, not a strike. However, this company has shown time and time again that it doesn't feel the need to bargain with us in good faith. We hope that the added pressure of a strike deadline will help management realize that a fair and equitable contract is in everyone's best interest," unquote. Negotiations have been going on for more than 3 years. Up next on ANN, Boeing says the first 747-8 is now under construction. Northrop and Bell collaborate on another unmanned helicopter. And Scott D. Anderson enters the Minnesota Aviation Hall of Fame. You're listening to Aero News.
Remember what the future used to look like? The flying cars, the spaceports, the rocket packs and spandex outfits. That was some future, wasn't it? But hey, here's the real future. A Garmin Wass Navigator. It makes its own glide path out of GPS signals, so you can land IFR at thousands of airports with no ILS or other ground-based approach aids. Now that's a future you can believe in. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for May 11th. I'm Paul Plack. Boeing reports that its mechanics last week began construction of the first 747-8 Intercontinental at its plant in Everett, Washington. Mo Yayavi, VP and General Manager of the 747 program, promises, quote, "The 747-8 Intercontinental will provide our customers with increased levels of passenger comfort, greatly improved fuel efficiency, and reduced emissions and noise," unquote. Lufthansa is the lead customer for the passenger airliner version of the plane, accounting for 20 of the 32 firm orders received so far. Boeing reports 76 orders for the freighter version, which increases cargo volume by 26% over any previous 747. The passenger variant has cabin features borrowed from the 787 Dreamliner's Sky interior. That includes revised architecture to create a more spacious feel and more carry-on baggage room, and lighting that provides smooth transitions for a more restful flight. The first delivery of the plane is expected in late 2011. Unmanned offshoots of legacy helicopters are a hot item in military procurement circles right now. Northrop Grumman and Bell Helicopter now say they'll be ready to enter an anticipated Navy competition next year with an unmanned variant of the Bell 407. The two companies say the FireX medium-range vertical unmanned aerial system is expected to make its first flight by the end of this year. Northrop VP Gene Fraser explains the collaboration. Quote, "The FireX system integrates Northrop Grumman's proven unmanned systems know-how with a proven FAA-certified helicopter airframe that's been in service since 1996. The result will be an affordable, fast-fielding system that delivers the maturity of the U.S. Navy's MQ-8B Fire Scout program while giving military services the extra UAS cargo, payload, and endurance they seek." Unquote. The platform is being designed for interoperability with both ground-based Army and ship-based Navy control stations. Scott D. Anderson, one of the lead test pilots during development of the Cirrus SR-20, has been inducted into the Minnesota Aviation Hall of Fame. Scott was a resident of Duluth and an Air National Guard F-16 fighter pilot. He died when his SR-20 test aircraft went down on March 23, 1999. He was 33 years old at the time. Cirrus co-founder Dale Clapmire remarked, quote, "Scott performed all 8 of the in-flight deployments of the Cirrus airframe parachute system for development and certification. To date, 17 deployments have saved 35 lives due to Scott's pioneering work." Unquote. When not flying, Anderson was a canoe adventurer, author, and musician. After his death, the Scott D. Anderson Leadership Foundation Fund was established and now allows about 70 high school students to receive scholarships for values-based leadership training each year. Still ahead, NASA has awarded 25 aeronautics scholarships. Centurion says its diesels are now much less costly to maintain. And Rain scrubs a Red Bull event for only the second time. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9922. Or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, May 11th. I'm Paul Platt. From what it says were hundreds of applications, NASA has selected 25 recipients of its graduate and undergrad aeronautics scholarships for the next school year. The recipients will intern with NASA researchers and work on projects to efficiently manage air traffic, improve safety, and reduce noise and emissions. The program is in its third year. NASA Associate Administrator Jaiwan Shin says their work will include tackling challenges, quote, such as mitigating the environmental impacts of air transportation or opening the skies to robotic aircraft, unquote. Online applications for the fall 2011 scholarship year will be accepted beginning in September. Applicants must be citizens of the U.S. or its territories. One of the major complaints with T-Alert aircraft engines in the beginning was short maintenance intervals, especially on the PSRU. When T-Alert went Tango uniform in the summer of 2008, the sudden increase in the cost for parts and service was breathtaking. Diamond Aircraft, an early T-Alert believer, expressed interest but eventually abandoned the bidding for the company's assets, then accelerated development of its own diesels, now certified under the Austro brand, and offers retrofit packages for earlier T-Alert-equipped airplanes. But the new company formed around the ashes of T-Alert, Centurion Aircraft Engines, hasn't disappeared. In a news release issued yesterday, the company says its Centurion 2.0 engines no longer need to be removed from aircraft and returned to the factory at 1,200 hours, but can now be operated through to the new 1,500-hour TBR interval, with an extension to 1,800 hours planned. Instead of factory inspection at 1,200 hours, service similar to the 600-hour interval will now be performed, involving replacement of the belt, hoses, coolant, and oil thermostat plug. The company says that cuts 7,000 euros from the previous maintenance costs at 1,200 hours. The news isn't all good, though. A planned extension of TBR isn't the same as achieving it, and the change affects only the 2.0, so your old T-Alert 1.7 may still be a really expensive doorstop. And finally today, Hans Arc of Austria was declared the winner of the Red Bull Air Race in Rio de Janeiro on Sunday, when the event had to be called for weather during the top 12 round. The results were then based on Saturday's qualifying sessions, and the Austrian had won the qualifying point. Britain's Nigel Lamb was awarded second place based on coming in second in qualifying, while championship leader Paul Bonholm was forced to settle for a disappointing third place. Heavy rain and winds drenched an estimated 250,000 spectators in Rio. It was only the second time in the 46-race history of the series that such a cancellation has been necessary. And Bonholm really can't complain too much. The only other rainout was in Longleat, UK in 2006, where Bonholm was declared the winner. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, ANN's Jim Campbell talks with Audrey Kohler, manager of the Team America Rocketry Challenge, about this weekend's national finals near Washington, D.C. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.